Thank you. We have to start with the meeting now. We have been waiting to form a quorum before we can start with the meeting. Thank you for coming, and to thank the Honorable Corapen for availing herself, and a rep from the Department of South African Police, and also from the Portfolio Committee on Police, we have a person deployed to talk to the issues in front of us. Today's meeting intends to give Honorable Colapen an opportunity to brief us about the proposed amendment bill that she wanted to amend the South African Police Service Act. As you would know, she had to do the briefing, and we then request the department also to brief us about the presentation of the sponsor, and also check with the Portfolio Committee as to how far they are in terms of the presentation before us. And I want to believe that all of us, we are having a copy of the proposed amendment. However, she will be taking us through, and I've realized that they are going to use technology to go through all this. You know, normally technology makes us to quickly just accepting everything, because it is something that came after our birth. We did not, you know, grow up with these things. But without much ado, I'm going to invite Honorable Colapen to take us through the proposed paper that she's having with it. Over to you, member.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you for having me here to do this presentation today, and for those members who you managed to rustle up to form a quorum. This proposal, private members' proposed legislation, is something that certainly has exercised the minds of the Portfolio Committee for some years, and we're seeing certainly huge increases in the amount set aside for civil legal claims against the police. The amount currently stands at $7.6 billion. So we do feel that the oversight of the SAPS and the SAPS members has to be strengthened. We've listened to the pleas of the Independent Complaints Directorate for years, and I think that you'll see that this amendment and the proposed amendments are very slight. They could be done very easily, and I think the impact on the oversight on the part of the Independent Complaints Directorate could go a long way to cleaning up that small criminal base that still sits within the SAPS. I'm going to just run through here. I'm going to be presenting this. It seeks to amend Section 53 of the SAPS Act 68 of 1995. It was submitted, of course, to the Speaker's office on the 25th of June this year, and the purpose is to empower the Independent Complaints Directorate by creating a greater onus on the SAPS to enact any recommendation that the ICD might make to it in relation to the conduct of its members. Now, the presentation will set out why there's a need, in my opinion, for this proposed legislation and what it aims to achieve. Members of the South African Police Service are public servants who exercise powers not available to ordinary citizens, including the powers to both arrest and use force. Therefore, it's necessary that special measures are in place to ensure that our police officials are really fully accountable for their actions. Now, the ICD is the appropriate statutory body to oversee the SAPS in terms of the South African Police Service Act 68 of 1995. The ICD is a government department established in April 1997 with the aim of investigating complaints of brutality, criminality, and general misconduct against members of the SAPS and the Municipal Police Service. And it operates independently of the SAPS. It investigates alleged misconduct and criminality by SAPS members. And its mandate is to ensure and promote proper police conduct. Now, there are five different classes of complaints that can be laid with the ICD. In broad terms, a complaint laid against a member of the SAPS after a proper investigation must culminate in a report with recommendations that are then given to the Director of Public Prosecutions with a copy sent to the SAPS for investigation and the ICD providing oversight. And the SAPS also provides a copy of the recommendations where appropriate to be sent to the Attorney General or the Minister of now what's called police. Now, according to a briefing by the Independent Complaints Director to our Portfolio Committee in June of this year, as well as published in the ICD annual report, the number of complaints received against the SAPS has increased to 6,119 from 5,830 the previous year. Now, deaths in police custody or as a result of police action have also increased from 792 to 912 over the same period. Now, all indications show that the primary procedures of investigation and reporting do work well, and it's with regard to the implementation of the recommendations made by the ICD that the problem seems to lie. The SAPS is failing to act on the recommendations to the extent that this failure now constitutes, and I'm quoting the ICD as per their briefing to the Portfolio Committee, it constitutes a serious operational challenge. Now, in response to one of my parliamentary questions last year, the Minister of Police stated that in 2008, 573 recommendations were made by the ICD. It was found that there was compliance with ICD recommendations on the part of the SAPS in 333 of the total number of 573 cases examined, and that constitutes 58.1%. Now, given the number of cases under investigation, last year there were 11,187 cases investigated. That obviously involves a great many policemen and women, and a failure to act on a recommendation only serves to undermine the effectiveness of the police service. And the situation is also something of a vicious circle, because as the caseload increases and the recommendations are ignored, so the problem is exacerbated. And I also want to point out that the ICD, since its creation some 12 years ago, has never at any stage had a full complement of staff as proposed 12 years ago. Obviously, that complement of staff should be far greater 12 years down the line, but they are extraordinarily under-resourced. Now, we have a graph here that indicates the increase in the number of complaints since 2005. You can see it's jumped from 5,277 up each year. Quite substantially, it's a 16% increase over the past 4 years. And so we've looked for a solution, and the solution seems to be a legislative proposal to make the ICD more effective as an oversight body. And the The idea is to bolster or give the ICD teeth. It would amend Section 53, that's the particular section that deals with the ICD, of the SAPS Act 63 of 1995, and the proposal would effectively make it mandatory for the SAPS to implement ICD recommendations. The private member's proposal would put in place a set of provisions which compel the SAPS to act on ICD recommendations. However, if the SAPS deem those recommendations to be unreasonable, the onus then falls on the SAPS to explain in writing why they have failed to act. And because the provisions require that explanation to be public and transparent, it would create greater pressure on the police service both to take action or alternatively to be accountable when it does not. I've also suggested a provision whereby the SAPS, if it deems an ICD recommendation to be unreasonable, it has the right to appeal that finding, and that gives the minister the ability to establish an appeals mechanism through which the SAPS case could be considered. Now, obviously, the proposed provisions submitted are suggestions, which can and must be fine-tuned via the entire structure through the portfolio committee and everywhere else. I'm not wedded to any portion of this proposal. It's not a matter of partisanship. It really has been discussed at length in the portfolio committee, in the presence of the minister, in the presence of most of the top structure of the SAPS, and certainly with the ICD. And I think everyone agrees that there is a problem that needs addressing. So this is what we're trying to do here, giving the ICD teeth. Certainly the Minister of Police has said absolutely the ICD must be given the muscle power that it needs. And there's much talk in the media about shoot to kill, and if we do see acceptable proposal to amend Section 49 of the Criminal Procedures Act, ones that are, of course, constitutionally appropriate, then even more so, we need to ensure a simultaneous strengthening of Section 53 to bolster the ICD and increase police oversight. So the recommendations look like this, and this is the last slide but one, that, and this would come into the section on the ICD following on logically from that particular section, that where relevant, the police service must ensure that appropriate measures are taken to implement recommendations within 14 days of the recommendation being submitted, except in circumstances listed in subsection B, which says, where recommendations are deemed by the service to be unreasonable or cannot be fulfilled for any reasonable reason, then it must be submitted to the executive director of the ICD within 14 days of the recommendation being submitted. Now, as far as possible, where it does not infringe on the rights of those under investigation, those reasons must be available to the public. And after consideration, and within 14 days of receiving those reasons, if the executive director of the ICD deems those reasons to be invalid, he or she may refer the matter to the Minister of Police for arbitration. And where a matter is forwarded for arbitration in terms of subsection D, the Minister of Police, within a reasonable period, must appoint a suitably qualified and impartial person or persons to make a final ruling, which decision shall be binding on all parties. The result of was basically a small move, but a tightening up of what I think has always been the motivation behind the existence of the ICD. We can't for a moment imagine that the ICD was created to investigate possible criminality on the part of the SAPS and then nothing be done. We can't imagine that was ever the intention of those who actually created the Independent Complaints Directorate in the first place. So this is a move to actually address what we feel is a lack within that bill. It's simply a way to bolster the effectiveness of the ICD, and by empowering the ICD, it could be ensured that its recommendations are acted upon. And the result would be increased transparency and accountability on the part of the SAPS. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Members, if there are any clarity seeking questions, you can then be allowed to do that. I thought as you present, you'll also conclude by talking to the financial status of the proposed legislation.
Yes, looking at the financial implications, we currently have a situation where I remember the answer to a question to the minister last year. We had spent 90 million rand on salaries of suspended SAPS members in one single year. They literally stayed suspended. There were people who had been suspended for years and never been dealt with, never brought forward, never dismissed, never reinstated, in a state of limbo but on full salary. So I think that would immediately ensure that issues were dealt with within a time frame without allowing them to drag on endlessly. And that would save the taxpayer tens of millions of rands. The mere fact that the SAPS would have to take a decision within a given amount of time on whether or not to dismiss someone from the SAPS and then have them arrested for a criminal act such as murder, rape, you've all seen the various crimes committed by our SAPS members. I think there has been to the public eye far too much leeway given to allow, in fact, even SAPS members convicted of quite terrible crimes simply to be transferred to another province as though it had never happened. Now, that would not be allowed in the case of a civilian, certainly not for you or me or anyone else who committed any of these crimes, but we are seeing it happen within the SAPS. And I think this would go a far way to clearing up that small element in the SAPS that's actually causing so much negative publicity for the SAPS as a whole.
Thank you. Honourable Ansley.
Comrade Chair, thank you very much. I don't want to go into the merits of the proposal and the detail of the proposal, but I was wondering, I believe we do have a member of the department that is with us, and so I was wondering whether we perhaps shouldn't take, if they're going to present, and we've got someone from the portfolio committee as well, if they are going to make input on this proposal and react to the proposal, it may be more useful, I think, if we hear what they have to say or what the department has to say before we go into the detail of the merits of this particular proposal. So that's a suggestion I wanted to make.
Thanks, Honourable Member. I thought before we move to the department, if there's anything that you didn't understand, you should be clarified, and then we then allow the department. But in the light of that, then it looks like there's no any other clarity seeking question. So your presentation was very clear to almost everybody. But I guess the issue of financial implications is not even clear up to now as to you made mention that the current situation is we are experiencing enormous loss of money. But as to what will the implication set in terms of finance to the amendment that you are proposing, you haven't dealt with it effectively.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Chair. I mentioned the amount that is currently being more or less wasted by not dealing effectively with cases against SAPS members. And the only possibility of expenditure would be in the setting up of a one-person appeals section, which certainly would have a financial implication, but I think would be offset by a mere fraction of the saving of the equivalent of 90 million rand a year that is actually currently wasted on elements that should actually be expelled from the SAPS.
I will now invite the Secretary of the Police to take us through in relation to the presentation we have received from the Honourable Member.
Over to you then.
Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Jenny Irish Kawashiani, and I'm the new Secretary of Police, and representing the Minister here today. In terms of the ICD, I think we, just as an introduction, we need to recognize that the Minister has for some time been interested in looking at how we can strengthen the ICD. And I think those members that were in Parliament during the budget will remember that he spoke specifically about this issue and about the need to strengthen the ICD. Shortly after that budget speech, the Minister started the process of working on legislation, which is specifically aimed at strengthening the role of the ICD within the department. The draft legislation on the ICD is in the process of being finalised, and consultations regarding this legislation will hopefully take place within the next 4 to 6 weeks. We will start the consultation process around the legislation. The legislation will then be tabled before Parliament during the first session of next year. The only reason why it's not being tabled this year is because we missed the cut-off date for this year. So legislation around the ICD, separate legislation for the ICD, which will be separate from the South African Police Services Act, will be tabled before Parliament in the first session next year. The new legislation has taken into account a number of problems with the ICD. The aim of the legislation is to capacitate and strengthen the ICD in order for it to perform its role effectively. The legislation will address a number of concerns, not just the issue of the recommendations being taken seriously, but it will address the entire ICD itself and some of the weaknesses that have been identified with the Honourable Colonel Barlas has spoken about issues like capacity issues within the ICD. All of that will be addressed within the new legislation that is being prepared at the moment. That legislation has also taken cognizance of what has been said at previous portfolio committees on the role of the ICD, and a lot of the criticisms made of the ICD at that portfolio committee level have been incorporated into the legislation. So we believe that this legislation that will be tabled before Parliament and around which the consultations will be starting within the next 4 to 6 weeks will actually address the very issues that the Honourable Colonel Barnard is talking about. What will then happen is once that legislation has been finalised, the relevant amendments to the South African Police Services Act will need to take place. So we feel that a lot of the issues that are being brought forward here are going to be addressed in that legislation. I also just want to make one point, which is not really on this particular issue, but it was something that came up in the presentation, and I think there needs to be clarity for all the members here, and that is around the 7.5 billion that was raised in the presentation. That is actually, we've been dealing with this issue in the media at the moment. It's not actually accurate that the amount that SACS is spending is 7.5 billion. On legal cases against them. The reality is that's a contingent liability. So I may, for example, just to give you an example, I may decide that I want to sue the police for a false arrest, and then submit a claim for 8 million. The reality is we don't know if the claim is legitimate, whether the amount is legitimate and when it's going to be paid out. But in terms of the PMSA, and in terms of transparency, we have to record that contingent liability in our records. The reality is the actual amount that SACS paid out during the last financial year, and that amount includes civil liability cases, it includes legal fees, it includes damage to property. The amount paid out was actually 56 million. So I think that although that's not the core issue here today, I think I just wanted to clarify for members that we must stop talking about the 7.5 billion and actually talk about the 56 million.
Thank you, Judy. Is there anything that you wanted her to clarify before we take the portfolio committee off?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to be clear on this. The legislation is on the pipeline.
Thank you. Any other clarity-seeking questions? There you go, member.
Thank you very much, Chair. So are we given the assurance that in this legislation that is in the pipeline that the recommendations is an aspect, the recommendations of the ICD, is that an aspect that will definitely be covered in that legislation?
Can you clarify that?
Yeah, the question of how the recommendations coming from the ICD are dealt with currently, and the legislation proposes a more effective means of making sure that the legislation is implemented and that the ICD is given teeth. That's correct.
Any other?
There you go.
Clarity as well. The 2005 committee report to Parliament, did that form part of your development of the legislation?
Yeah, we looked at that report from Parliament, and we went through in detail not just the issue of the recommendations, but all the criticisms that were raised against the functioning of the ICD. So the recommendations was just one aspect, but all the criticisms that have been raised by Parliament are addressed in terms of the legislation.
Are you then saying, by implications, issues raised by Honourable Collab and the Portfolio Committee are in totality attended to?
Correct, Chairperson.
Thank you. Any other?
I just would also like to ask, when does the department foresee that the legislation will be coming to Parliament? Is there any deadline, any mandate on that?
We have informed the chairperson of the portfolio committee that we are ready to start the consultation process around the legislation, or we will be within the next month. However, we missed the cutoff date for this year, so it will be put on the agenda during the first session of next year.
But you said the drafting part will be completed within the 4 to 6 weeks.
That's correct, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any other? Honest?
I'm quite happy that the proposals from the department are quite extensive and may even be much wider than the proposal we've been given today. So I'm quite happy that for the moment perhaps we leave it to the department and the portfolio committee to deal with this matter. And that maybe there's no need to follow a private member's proposal, which possibly only in part deals with this issue. But also maybe to appeal to members, I'm not identifying Ms. Calabola in particular, but maybe to appeal to members, Chair, that in future, before there being proposals to this committee, they do liaise with the ministry, the relevant ministry, liaise with the relevant portfolio committee to make sure the proposals are not in fact in the pipeline, as in this particular case, to avoid duplication and to avoid extra effort of people bringing proposals that have already been considered by the relevant department, as in this case.
I thought by now we were still dealing with the clarity seeking, but I've heard what you have said. In the absence of any clarity seeking, can we then invite the portfolio committee rep to? Do you have something that you wanted to talk before?
I think I'm obviously very pleased that the new head of the secretariat is doing the job that we had hoped the secretariat would do and have been hoping it would do for years and years and years. I've been on the committee for a very long time. But I think the very fact that Honourable Van Dyk says, well, did you use the 2005 report? This is how many years this issue has been kicked around and kicked around and kicked around. So, you know, with all due respect, this is an issue that has been put on the back burner more times then I think the portfolio committee has met. It's never been taken seriously, and if in fact it is now at last being taken seriously, of course we can only welcome that. But I think because of the endless delays we've seen over the years, when I see it and have a copy in my hand, then I will be extremely happy. Thank you.
Thank you. You can take us through that.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, yes. I, from the side of the portfolio committee, and it's a difficult position that I've been put in because, I mean, I'm trying to be non-political in this approach, since I've also present the other members in the committee who are not necessarily from the ANC. The fact is that we welcome the fact that there are legislation coming from the department, and the fact that the Secretary of Police is indicating to us that this will be all-encompassing legislation, and if I heard her correctly, it will also take the ICD out of the SAPS Act and give them an independent piece of legislation which will by itself empower them. We welcome, and we are also positive about the fact that we believe that this ministry has indicated its willingness to deal with the ICD, and I think the most touchable example that we have of that is the fact that he's upgraded the position of the head of the Secretariat to that of a Deputy Director General's level, which in the past it was a Chief Director. And I think that in itself is an indication of the seriousness of the Minister to deal with the ICD. And I would appeal to this committee and to the member that we give the Secretariat an opportunity to finalise the process, and we are definitely looking forward to having that legislation in front of us, because I think all of us who are not only serious about crime but serious about the fact that we fight crime in a legal manner and with in such a way that the uniform of the police are respected, not out of fear but because of the fact that they are effective, would support legislation that would give the ICD the necessary tools to deal with the situation that they are tasked with.
Thank you very much. I'm sure she was emphasizing that they welcome the proposal by the department, also you know, taking on board what the Honourable Colapin was proposing. I'm sure this brought us towards the end of the presenters, and we may chat and take into consideration what the Honourable Ensley was already deliberating on, because we may not necessarily have to conclude, but we may, you know, run off across the presentations that we have received from the three parties. And then I guess Honourable Colapin made a very clear, you know, way presentation that have all the reasons why she did, as much as the department also indicate where they are in terms of what she was presenting. I'm sure as we will be talking, we should look at all those areas and allow the process to be concluded in the next meeting. Of course, today we are not necessarily have to conclude, but to appreciate the briefing that we have received. Any input? Oh, it seems as a prep up the way you would want. I thought I'm inviting you, but I was doing a summary in a way. Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Colapin, and thank you very much, Secretary, and Rep from the Portfolio Committee. We you have made us now to go towards determination as to what do we then recommend to the Parliament. In a very short space of time, and then we'll do that, and we'll also inform you about the decision of the committee, which will be taken very soon.
So just to have clarity, so what you're actually saying is we take it now to our caucuses as normal after an introduction, take it to our different caucuses, consider all the facts, and at the next meeting we will be able to take a decision. Yeah.
Correct. Because the determination will be taken by the committee. We might be informing you, but it's not the requirement that we should invite you. It will be a the sponsor. We might invite them and the department, but it's not a requirement to arrive at the determination, which I guess the committee will deem it to be very balanced and fair to everybody in the best interest of the South African. Thank you very much, and you may be excused if you have got other commitment. Thank you very much. Members, there is the next item which in relates to minutes of the Thank you.
No, I think with them, because we have started the petition on whether they're using or not.
Okay, so can we consider what? I have a little bit of a little bit of a little bit of a little bit of a can we then consider the adoption of the minutes of the meeting of the 15th September at 3:15 at room E337? I want to believe that the copies of the minutes are in your disposal also. Do you have the copies? Not. I'm sure they will provide you with one. It's a very short. I normally don't prolong meeting. I deal with the facts that you do. Do you see the minutes? It is just the page, almost 3/4 page. Is there anything that does not reflect the correct? Any move towards the adoption of the minutes?
Chairperson, I would like to move the adoption of the minutes.
Bebanda? To the mover. Thank you very much. The minutes will then be regarded as the true reflection of what transpired on the 15th of September 2009. Is there anything that you wanted to talk to on the minute? I guess nothing. Thank you very much. I'm sure this we are not going to consider the 5-year plan which is on the agenda. We will do this in an appropriate time because the researcher and the secretariat have never been hands on in this particular area. We may waste time today to deal with it because it should talk to specifications unlike the one that it has finished in your packages. So I would suggest that we would then consider it in the next meeting where we'll then be given an opportunity in time to go through it and then when we arrive in the meeting then be able to deal with real issues. Agreed? Thank you very much, and the meeting then can adjourn. Thank you.